It's back again. We're back on the podcast. Another week. A very, very important week for us because things are improving. Things are getting better. And today I'm excited because I have one of my classmates, Mr. Prateek Bhadri. Legend in the Pune scene.
Just a hardworking artist, man. That's about it.
Man, for us, we're very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
I know Prateek from, I don't know, many years now. It's many, many years. And we're so proud to see him gigging everywhere across the country in Pune. And you're finally there on the podcast. You're our first indie kind of artist who's on the podcast. And I really wanted to start off things with you. So welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank How's you so much. And it's fabulous to be here. And especially with a buddy who's known me from when we used to piss in our pants back in the school, man. Like, we've seen it all. And playing football together and always being supportive. It's like a family. Our entire batch is like a family, and spending such great times and see you do so well with your podcast and with DJing, with work and everything, man. It just feels proud, and it's so good to sit here with you and talk about my journey and be a part of your lovely initiative, which is doing great. So an honor, and I'm very happy to be here.
How's it been, bro? How's COVID treating you?
Oh, good. Good, actually. You know, it is difficult. I'm not going to say it's easy,
of course, man.
It's the best time for me. I've always been a person who tries to look forward. So there have been things that have happened as an artist. I accepted that if I'm going to be a full-time artist, there are going to be hardships that I'm going to face in life. So for me, it's always about planning.
Okay.
And when a situation comes, my brain always looks for the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I started foreseeing that, okay, 3-4 months down the line, things are just going to get worse. And my industry is in a mess right now.
Of course, man.
So I have to explore opportunities and forget that I'm going to get on stage for a while and forget that what the market looked like. It's like living a new life. It's like there's a war,
mm-hmm.
and now things change in a war zone. And that's how I looked at the situation.
Of course.
And we are fighting this war with this virus. So we have to reinvent. And we can't expect in a developing country like this with so much of chaos that being an artist, you're mm-hmm. going to get some sort of a support from anything or anyone. So I just looked at myself and I thought what I could do. And the first thing that I thought was that all these years of, you know, studying different genres of music, studying Indian classical to studying Western, bel canto to contemporary singing, what can I bring for those people who always called up to me and said, Bro, do you teach? Prateek, do you teach? And I'm like, if I want to teach someone, then I want to give him my 100% of my time and energy and want to see that person grow, because I have been that person who never got the best guidance, and everyone used to have these judgments because rock singing isn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the techniques that you have to develop to have that voice to sing rock, there's a lot of ups and downs that you have to go through while you develop.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding diaphragmatic singing, you know, understanding the science behind it, the theory behind it, to do that. There was a lot of work I put in. A lot of people I studied with, different people, a lot of things that people don't know that mm-hmm. I've done to get to the point. Until date, I'm always trying to learn new things. And that's why I'm able to sing between different genres, to write songs from different languages.
Of course.
Be it folk, or be it rock and roll, to be it absolute pop or R&B or whatever. So giving that to a young child is the same time people learn. There are a lot of people who say, I've learned. But when they come on stage, they can't take their education in music or their subject and put it out to their audience and say that I own the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the child to learn, or to get the individual, a growing adult, because I have a student who's 35 and I have a 5-year-old kid. So not everyone's a kid. There are a lot of people there who are in the mid-20s to 30s phase who want to perform or want to improve their performances.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from different parts of the country. And that's their question. You know, they want to be able to do this out there on stage effortlessly. So even guiding them in that aspect, and then thereon help them to do what I did, so that we have more a growing, thriving community mm-hmm. of good artists coming out.
So the entire lockdown, you've taken to teaching and I've taken to
music education, and I've taken to myself writing new music, which people are really looking forward to.
Wow, man.
And this time I will promise people that I'll release music faster, because I've been the snail when it came to releasing music. So I'm going to be faster. I'm going to like keep up with that creative space everyone's in.
Of course.
So yeah, faster releases for sure.
So Prateek, when we were in school, we never really thought career mein kya karna hai, I honestly didn't have any fucking clue what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But the least we thought is that, you know, you're going to get into music and full-time music. So tell me, how was this something that was planned during school time?
Eighth grade, I wanted to do this, yeah, because what happened is, see, my sister is 7 years older to me, I'll be honest with you. I think SOS used to jam on that.
In the stadium.
So, yeah, so these guys are buddies. So these guys used to jam. I used to go and bunk Marathi period and go and sit there because she hated me anyways, Pandit Rao. Sorry, guys. I mean, we know these inside stories. I'm just going to like keep it simple. Yeah, so whatever. The teacher really didn't like me. I didn't like sitting in class either. So I used to go and spend time while they used to jam. And we could overhear the echoes from the stadium right there when they used to jam. And that was like nice. surprised to see a band playing mm-hmm. rock music in a school and school supporting it. And then back home, I had friends and they were listening to Metallica and Iron Maiden. And I was like, wow. Because at that time, I was more into Eminem and Limp Bizkit.
Of course, yeah.
In that rock rap genre and then a little bit of Linkin Park. So, yeah, but I was listening to that kind of stuff. And it wasn't that I was listening to the greatest legends of Indian music like R.D. Barman or mm-hmm. Kishore Kumar. And I was like, yeah, wow, I want to sing. So the thing, what happened to me is when I used to watch these artists express themselves and used to watch them on YouTube, I wanted to be that entertainer.
Okay.
Who's not just singing, but he's creating like some sort of an experience for the audiences where they're losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And their songs are so deep that you relate to them as a kid. So when I'm cycling for a tuition, I'm listening to these songs and they're helping me fight my daily hustles mm-hmm. as a student, you know.
Okay.
We go through different things, man. Sometimes you're bullied, sometimes things are happening, you know, teachers, whatever. That entire teenage phase, I was listening to these raging genres like System of a Down too. So I wanted to be this rock musician. And what made it stronger was when I attended a gig where Agni was playing, Vayu was playing, not Indiscreet. There was Brute Force, which was a big band that time in Pune. And they were organizing these gigs, you know. And that time Pune used to have this big amalgamation of people coming in for a rock concert, because that time gigs were not like a rampant thing in every venue. This venue scene was like someone used to book a open air place, get mm-hmm. some sponsors. I remember this was IMS promoting their future MBA mm-hmm. you know, opportunities to study and get entrances or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they got rock bands because they can entice that younger crowd to come in. So they were, it was called IMS Rocks or whatever it was called. So yeah, I remember seeing these bands and I was like, wow, they're good, man. They're really good. And if they are doing this and we have our own scene, I want to be a part of it. So going forward, I started jamming with classmates and different people.
So this is what, in school?
This was in school, man. Like, I kept it very hush-hush that time. Mm-hmm. It was 8th, 9th, and it was a complete phase. I had friends from APS. They had their own band. And when I went to the 11th grade, I formed my first band. So 11th, I formed my first band. I was in my junior college. I did something there as well. And then Campus Rock Idols happened. And that time I attended, thanks to having an older sister, because she had access to all these things that are happening, these college fests.
Mm-hmm.
So because she figured that I was okay into these things, I remember when we were outside Inox and Jazz by the Bay, there was another venue right there, Nirvana or something there
mm-hmm.
in that building next to Inox, and there were the iRock auditions happening.
Okay.
And kids like me weren't allowed. So my sister pulled me in saying that he's with me. And mm-hmm. I checked out in the eyes of Pin Drop Violence that back then.
Yeah.
And many people won't recognize these bands. Pin Drop Violence, Medusa, and all these bands performing, and a few of our local homies who I'd made friends with. And I was like, wow, now next year I want to be there. I want to be a part of iRock. Even if I'm 16, 17 years old, I want to be a part of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I formed a band with these bunch of boys. We went, according to the band, apparently in the Pune auditions, we were like the West Zone. Mm-hmm. We were 8th or something. That doesn't matter. But for me, the fact that I first got onto that stage where the best of the Indian bands in that West Zone region were there and I could be a part of that scene to start with, that was my first aim, you know, to be there with a rock and roll heavy metal band.
Mm-hmm.
Because heavy metal and rock and roll was what I was enticed by. So I remember we did a Metallica cover. After that, obviously, as usual, bands disband.
Of course,
but
yeah.
I wanted to carry on. So here's me in my 12th grade, you know, listening and try to sing these songs, and you're struggling and then you're trying to figure shit out. So in that phase, I started to learn Indian classical.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to give my voice some sort of a direction, a sense of direction, not be erratic. And there's a rule book you have to follow when you're studying Gharana music, Indian mm-hmm. classical music. This was very strict guidelines, you know, what are you going to sing, which rag are you singing, which thaat is it,
mm-hmm.
you know, what time of the day do you do it. So these things kind of got me more serious towards, so sitting one-on-one with the teacher, these things got me more serious about what I was doing. And
but
I think
were you sure that this is what you want to do as a career?
Yeah, I think by the time I was in my 10th and I was taking that leap, I knew that everything that I'm taking is just to support my music, because somewhere down I'm going to take that leap. So the preparation started back then itself.
So was there any backup plan if this doesn't
sound engineering? That's the reason I was doing science.
Okay.
Because I did not want to be an engineer
mm-hmm.
who's working in some company. I just want to do anything that kept me closer to the entertainment industry. And that's why whatever I did was for a reason.
What is your family's, you know, what are they saying when you say, you know, I want to be a vocalist, I want to be a singer?
I remember, like, I was in my society clubhouse screaming and singing, crawling. My father crawled at me and punched me in my face and said, what the hell are you doing? You're disturbing all the neighbors and don't do this shit here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, what are you doing? And to, you know, stop me from doing that, he was like, you're wasting your time. Because he's a concerned father. He's seen this kid being a naughty ass kid throughout that journey.
Of course.
they were always called up that this guy is messing something up or he's doing some masti or something. So obviously they're like, okay, this is some other trip he's going into. Next thing you know, he's doing drugs or something. They don't want that. Obviously. So they're just being protective parents. You know, they didn't know that I'm that serious about it until they saw me crooning whatever it is, be it a Hindi song or a rock song at home. And that's when my mom said, okay, if you're actually serious, put yourself in a class where there'll be a rule book, where you're following a system and then you have to perform to that thing. And then when I literally auditioned in front of that Guruji, and she said, yeah, you have a good voice and come, you know, you can learn. And that's what I used to do. So along with my college, I used to learn. At the same time, for my genre of music, there was nobody to guide us.
Of course.
And there was a lot of, even then, even now, there's always that whole, you know, politics that happens in that little nascent scene, you know, and that's why I think these independent music scenes need to be more open arms so that it grows and blossoms.
You know, so what was their reaction when you said, you know, I want to be a vocalist? What was their, I mean, I'm talking my family. purely in terms of economic.
Initially they were like, no, yeah, whatever, do it on the sides, you know, get a job, like, you know, work hard, do what everyone does, you know, finish, then go into engineering and then do an MBA. Which I don't believe has to be the way to go unless you're really passionate about it. For me, passion mattered the most. And I knew for a fact that the only thing that made me sit down and focus from that erratic kid that I was doing multiple things was music.
Of course.
So that love for music, and second being football and sport in general. But the most time, if I spent 6 hours in one room focusing on something and trying to actually improve, that was music. So that's when I knew that this is something that gives me a big kick, and entertaining and seeing people lose their mind when you're doing something was like the biggest high. If even today I was homeless, but in that street I had a guitar and, you know, I could perform and I could entertain those 10 blokes, and even if they didn't pay a penny, but seeing them lose their mind and just underestimate that person sitting on the street and then get all blown away. That reaction from people when they underestimate you, and the next thing they see you, you know, just create this whole atmosphere where they, you know, want to be your bestie.
You mentioned underestimating you. I mean, and you also mentioned earlier about bullying. So was there any background in terms of...
Yeah, I think, we all know it. Like, all of us have gone through it. I went through a lot of bullying in school and all that, which was fine, man. It made me a stronger person. But music was that go-to thing for me. I think a lot of kids go through it. I don't think... I have my own psychology when it comes to even quality teaching. I don't think any of us in our country receive the best quality teaching, and a lot of judgments teachers have.
Of course.
We had a lot of fair kids becoming prefects. You know, remember that. So it's a lot of bias, and there's a lot of unnecessary racism that happens, labeling that happens. Someone's naughty doesn't mean he's not talented or doesn't mean he cannot progress. It's about actually understanding the psychology of a child and guiding him. And that's why when I've taken the music education direction, or even in my studio when I have young bands walk in, I don't judge the kids for who they are. I try to bring out the best out of them when they consult me, because that's what our duty as, even if you call them senior musicians, when they say that, you know. So that's your duty, to help a person grow, which is very important as well, the right way. So if I did not have access to something, but today I work to get access to that, and I have that knowledge, and I can see someone falling, and, you know, example, someone is trying to sing something, and the right technique to sing that is something that he needs to master, than waste his time doing it again and again and again. He needs to sit back home and practice the technique. So example, there's something called pharyngeal resonance in rock singing. So your AC/DCs, you know, Led Zeppelin, and then there are boys that come in and they don't know the technique. They just like belting their voices out.
Okay.
So if you sit back and work on technique, because, and then you come back and deliver. So those little things, you know, because there was no one to hold my hand and tell me what to do. I figured my shit out. I fell, I got up. And I love that about the entire journey, because there was constant speed breakers that came, and I had to just jump over them the right way. And that's what I loved about the entire time. So yes, if I have to sum it up, parents were skeptical, like whether I want to take this up as a career, until I was 21 and I stopped taking money from them, is when they only accepted this as my full-time thing, because they saw how serious I am. And also, to my good luck, a lot of good things happened at that very year when I quit my job. And
you're working somewhere. Where were you working?
I'll come to that. So I quit my job, and then I went absolute full-time. So yeah. So to sum it up, I had the IROC happened, and then I formed my first band, Infidels of Sanity. I remember I auditioned with Pull Me Under, a Dream Theater song. And those boys were already jamming together. So they were auditioning vocalists, and they were buddies. We used to keep meeting at all these rock concerts.
Okay.
So I used to travel from Vanuri to Aun, that one end of Pune to the other, and practice with them and then go back home. That was my daily hustle. So more than a social life, this was my life. So I was not like hanging with friends. This was my thing. For 3 years, from the time I was 18 to 21. And this band, with this band, there were a lot of things that we did. We traveled around India. We opened for international acts. We won local competitions to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And where the metal scene was that time blossoming a lot. So every college festival had metal and hard rock
bands. It was like a big thing that time,
that
actually.
That was a very big thing. So every competition, we had these prize monies and we won quite a few of them. Then we started traveling, playing with other Indian bands and, you know, big bands that time, like Inner Sanctum, who were the metal scene. So we played alongside these bands.
Mm-hmm.
Fire and Dawson from Germany in IIM Bangalore. We performed alongside them. We opened for them. And there was that another festival where Pain of Salvation came at IIT Sarang in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
So we played that concert where there were 4 or 5 bands, you know, where they were in attendance and we were playing for Pain of Salvation. My greatest experience was these international acts because they were making it at that moment and they were coming to India to play these festivals with these young, young Indian bands mm-hmm. opening for them or competing. And for me, it was like, okay, they're doing this full time. I want to do what they're doing. So what are they doing right? So I used to sit and try to talk to them, getting 15 minutes off them when they're having a smoke outside or doing something, you know, just like go at them and say like, you know, please guide me.
Mm-hmm.
And those interactions were great because especially at Pain of Salvation, we got to spend a lot of quality time. And it's 6 days in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
They literally became like friends and they're still Facebook friends. And from there, that watching these people and then putting that into an actual plan of action. So right after that, everyone decides someone wants to do engineering. My guitarist wanted to start a studio and everything. I mm-hmm. wanted to be a full-time singer. And how do I do that? So I'm graduated. Now, the next thing, people will do an MBA. I joined an event management college because I saw that that's the closest thing that kind of keeps me updated for what the live music scene is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, what the entertainment industry or what Bollywood and what every sub-genre mm-hmm. in this music industry is doing. So that was, and I had the support of my parents because by then, there were these competitions that I had won.
Of course, yeah.
This band had fairly become recognized in Pune as a metal band. There were articles that had come. So people knew me fairly. My parents thought that, okay, he's more mature than what he was when he was 16.
Okay,
so
makes sense.
The faith was much higher now.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, you want to do this course, you do it. While I was in that entire year, while I did my event management thing and I kept interning with, so I worked with Roadies, so season 9, the entire Pune auditions, World Series Boxing, IPL.
Okay.
I was in all these events understanding the dynamics of how this industry works.
Mm-hmm.
And then for 6 months, I joined a firm in Pune. I worked with them. And after that, I had my first singing contract with this venue called Out of the Blue, where mm-hmm. they were paying me a salary for a month to sing every Sunday. The rest of the week, I was working on another salary job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, why the hell do I need to, if I can sing 5 days a week, you know, why don't I do that? At the same time, put that money into investing into my independent music,
mm-hmm.
which was on the sides work in progress because I used to be a front man of a band.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wanted to create an identity as an individual artist. Very different things.
Of course.
As a front man, you sit with 4 or 5 guys and sometimes there's someone else telling you what is to be done or you guys equally put in the efforts. As an individual, independent artist, singer-songwriter, you've got to sit down from scratch, write music, you know, do every little hustle
mm-hmm.
and then get probably people on board to record something. So that was the direction I wanted to take. And I could see the music industry also transitioning at that time. So metal started to kind of go on a downward curve.
Yeah.
And I realized to that age from 16 to 21 that I was not just one singer who sings one particular genre.
Mm-hmm.
I love so many genres of music, be it a Bollywood song or be it a pop song or be it a rock song. For me, it was about the connection with that song or style and I wanted to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to keep myself constricted that this is my style of music. So that being said, I started working on myself so that my music will not have that genre-bound identity.
Of course, yeah.
And I started kept on gaining experience. I remember changing my thing as freelance singer on Facebook so that people know that if they want to get out to me. So then I started singing for multiple bands. I think Live Wire was this old band from Pune that had been there. I was with them for over a year. Then there was a band called Young Band that I had judged in a competition. And then they were improving like how our bands used to. They were doing well. There was a band called Wattplow, alt-rock band. I performed with them for a while. And that was fun. And then more bands that came and I just kept singing with different people until when I sat down and I said, I want to write my own music.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Boya Fanai, my guitar player, and me used to sit in my house and we used to write songs. And I had shows, but
mm-hmm.
these were commercial gigs and a few of them were about original music. But most of the original music content that I played was with other bands. So I remember getting a call with one of these venue owners and he said that I wanted to curate this one thing. It was an Oktoberfest or something and I want a headline act. I want you to be there because he loved my voice.
Okay.
He said, get your band. So I said, okay, I'll get my band. And I didn't have a band. It was just me and Boya in the room at that moment. And I remember this was the initial phase of writing Drift Deeper, by mm-hmm. the way. So we are working on the track and I'm like, dude, someone's called me and he's he's like, we got to do this. We got to put a band together. And so I start calling up musicians I know. And that's how Moonstruck Project came to, the inception of Moonstruck Project happened. So I call him back and he's like, yeah, bro, send me the picture. What is the band called? So I just tell him Moonstruck Project. This is how it happened. I just want to tell him a cool name out of the box.
But it didn't, it was like random.
Random out of my mouth. Moonstruck Project. Okay. He's like, ah, bhej, bhej. Quickly, I took all their five images, put it out. God. We work on our first gig. It was a complete cover set. The gig went well. Then three gigs down, that's when we got down to making modern funk rock. Mm-hmm. Because everyone understood the different genres that we were in love with, put that together. Simultaneously, Pratik Bahaduri, my solo project, the work kept on happening and I released Drift Deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Drift Deeper was the first song that actually got me attention in the indie scene, where these things have followed, you know, where people around the country, different indie artists, were kind enough to share it. I remember good friends now, but Siddharth Basrur, Nikhil D'Souza, and a lot of these indie artists who were, you know, doing so well and are still doing well. These guys shared the music, and that's what happened, is that a lot of people started paying attention to what I'm up to.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed that up with my first EP, which took quite a while for me to put it together. The thing was that I just didn't want to release an EP. I wanted some...
Because I think Andekhi, and I heard it from the Blue Frog days,
yeah.
it was like an amazing track.
I mean,
it was amazing, and then it happened, the video and the whole structure happened. It took a lot of time. Was it planned that, you know, mujhe baad mein karna hai, I want to take some more time on it?
So I'll just explain that whole journey to you. So what happened is, both the bands mattered to me. Like, be it Pratik, but though the lineup is the same, it's mm-hmm. the same bunch of boys working on both the projects, Moonstruck Project, which is a funk rock band, mm-hmm. and Pratik Bahaduri Ensemble. Pratik Bahaduri material, obviously, I come up with most of the things, and then Boya has his guitar, wonderful guitar ideas and parts that he comes sometimes mm-hmm. brings on. And so principally it's me and then him, you know, that's the maximum time, and then everyone else fills in as musicians.
Mm-hmm.
When Moonstruck, it was a lot of time spent together, and I used to plan a calendar for both. Plus at the same time, because I had that mind that I need to, in the indie scene the gigs don't pay much, so there had to be something else that, because I'm being going full time now, that mm-hmm. pays the bills, at the same time also gives you ample money that you can push back into your music. Because if you want a good quality production, mixing, mastering, everything is going to cost you something. So the corporate gigs, I started building a name in the corporate scene, and started doing commercial gigs, man, absolute commercial gigs. The Rolling Stone article that had come out about after Drift Deeper, asking me about how that whole transformation from a heavy metal band to this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because till then I was known as the vocalist of Infidels of Sanity by most people, yeah. IOS, as they were fondly called. So that whole transition to being known as Pratik Bahaduri, and then from there to release corporate something.
And then again corporate.
And then the corporate scene, and then the corporate scene that he Hindi mein bhi gaata hai, acha gaata hai, thoda wo, you know, has that energy, and he brings his own set and gets people on the floor. So then that scene was different. So also then in that zone, there were a lot of musicians who were in different walks of life, young boys. So ye corporate karna hai kya, ye nahi karna hai, what is this? So I'm making them understand that this is a process, even if you don't like it. Today, they all love it because they see the, and the corporate scene has evolved as well. It's mm-hmm. much more, it's very different now. Like, you know, when I play Andekhi in a corporate scene, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously now many of them have heard the song as well, but still then there are like 70-80% who haven't heard the song, 20% might have. And they're much more welcoming to something fresh, because so much of experimentation that we do in a corporate space as well, which wasn't then. That time, there used to be those who liked their good old Deep Purple, or they had their typical, they wanted those, you know, 90s pop songs, and some, they mm-hmm. used to literally like want to tell you what set list they want. So did that and kept reinventing in that space. So it wasn't that I was just stuck up with my EP. I was pretty much multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keeping Moonstruck going, making sure, because I handle the band myself. So all these projects. So right from being the manager to doing things, at the same time, I set up Crazy Bucket Production, which was my artist management event company. Mm-hmm. And I was doing stuff in that front as well. So all this took a lot of my time. And that's why somewhere Different Shades of Me was happening. But it was happening at a pace which was not as fast as someone who was just doing that would happen. And the reason being that I've hated to borrow money from family or anyone. So I wanted to fund every little thing by myself, you know, mm-hmm. and I wanted a good quality product. I just didn't want like, okay, you put out your first EP and people say, haan, theek hai, like, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. nice, yeah, good, good, good. I wanted the eyeballs. I wanted people to wake up that he's arrived, you know.
Of course.
And he's doing some good stuff that way. So around 2015-ish, I sent in my song with like many indie artists do for the Radio City Freedom Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of months later, I realized that I made it to the finals. I got a call and I was shocked, because you see guys like Carly Samontero, called Jingle Queen of India. She's one of the nominees, and she has Vishal Dadlani, Salim Suleiman sharing her thing that vote for her. There's me. There's Benny Dayal with I think with Nuclear. He had done this song, so that was out there. And I won Best Pop Artist that year, and that was the biggest wake-up call for me of how much more I need to spend on my own music, because that was a song I wrote in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as that happened, a lot of good things happened. A lot of more gigs. It was much more easier for people to know who I am, because there was that one footprint that was made.
Of course.
Of winning Best Pop Artist as an indie artist in India among all these different artists that exist. So once that foothold was made, I made the most of it. And I focused on finishing Different Shades of Me. But again, I did not want to release. I kept on taking feedback from the people in the industry. By then, I had worked with a lot of stalwarts in the industry. Some were telling me to push this to a movie. Some were telling me that, okay, spend more time on shortening the song, because it was a longer song, a 6-minute song. So we shortened it up, and I got some great feedback from a lot of people. And then finally, once the song was ready in around 2018, I put the EP together. They were different genres. So by then, I'd made it very clear that I'm a multilingual singer, songwriter.
Of course.
And multi-genre. And also, every song has a different message. So Inner Love was about depression. Children of Love was about issues that bother me, you know, religion, the fight about different religions, and children being brainwashed about this, and then war.
Mm-hmm.
So Children of Love is a song about spreading love and education for children. Drive Deeper was a love song, and Shararat was a Bengali pop song with, again, it was a love story in that as well. And Andekhi was a Hindi song which did well. So then after that, the next year, I shot Andekhi. I had wanted to have this some sort of a production that I wanted to put together, so got the right people on board. Went, I had scouted the whole of Goa, because the amount I was touring Goa with my shows. During that time, I decided where I wanted to shoot this song.
Okay.
So all the location scouting, you know, the planning,
wow.
I did this. I got this team from Bombay, and some of the DOP was from Gujarat. So these guys came down. I looked after everything for them, stay and everything, a big team, and did this music video, because I just didn't want to release the song as just another indie music video. And I'm so glad the song,
man, it's upped. Last I checked was like 851k views. I was like, shit, dude.
Yeah,
and man, trust me, when I saw it for the first time, and I was like, dude, this is next level. Amazing video, man. I mean, I was so proud to, you know, to know you personally. I was like, shit, man, I actually know this guy. He's my classmate, my schoolmate.
And do you remember you've heard this song when it was like in its initial
course,
stage on
that's
my
what
phone?
Saying.
In my phone, yeah.
Of course, because I remember when we used to have our normal parties, and
right.
So you know how even sanctions are, bro.
Exactly.
Mera dost hai, mera bhai hai, aisa tha school mein, you know, with football, with everything. And I remember playing, you know, I don't know what version sound, I don't know where it was, but I remember playing this.
This was that little reunion party where we had booked that whole place.
Oh yeah, man, I remember.
That's why we played it. Yeah.
So I remember somewhere, and I was like, shit, man, this is like amazing. And to actually see it from, you know, from scratch, you could say, to being polished, and you know, to with the final product of the video and all of that stuff, I was like, shit, this is phenomenal, man. So honestly, it is, it's been one of my favorite tracks. I think
I'm so glad.
I think most of the views you got on the earlier version, we were playing it at Blue Frog.
Yeah.
So I said, many other version, other views to marry ring with me, because every time I'm sitting and jamming.
Thank you so much.
Because that's you know, when you're sitting with friends, you play a track which no one has any idea about. Achha gaana hai, kaun se movie ka hai? Are mere dost ne banaya. You know, that wala feeling was there.
Right.
And amazing, man. Really, really proud of that track. Honestly, my favorite track, you know, from your work so far.
Thank you so much. And that's what a lot of people gave me a lot of love for that. And even Inner Love, for that matter. Both these songs did very well. Inner Love was a surprise, but I got that from the indie scene a lot, for people
of
who
course.
Like the bands like Porcupine Tree and stuff like that. Because Different Shades of Me went on number 2 on the OK Listen charts. I was number 2 artist on that, so best-selling artist. And then on the Indian pop charts on A-List on Apple Music, I was number 2 on that as well. And then came Inner Love out of nowhere, because I didn't expect Inner Love to be number 2 on the charts. So both these songs were then on the charts in the top 10, and I was like, wow, like that felt so good. Because after all those years that you spend, Rohan, like you spend that much time to say that I want this to get out the certain way that you want it to get out. And then when you see like people receiving it in that lovely way, it just felt, it was so heartwarming that I immediately decided, now, what do I do next? So that's what. And then after that album, I've been working really hard with the live sets, and you know, I pushed my live sets to doing more interesting collaborations with multiple artists and putting out these more bigger
productions,
and stuff. At the same time, sitting back home and now working on some new material, because people have been eagerly waiting for that.
One thing I want to ask you is, Prateek, so like I said, for me, it's a huge thing that you're full time. You know, you mentioned many bands in engineering colleges and graduation and stuff. Right. You know, let's do a band, let's be cool and all of that stuff. And eventually, it's like a hobby. They all want to be engineers.
Right.
You know? And you know, for you, you took that stand. You know, let me do this professionally. Let me do this as a career.
Right.
How difficult or how easy is it? On is it a valid career option to make? And I'm saying this for someone who's thinking about doing it, because everyone wants to pick up the guitar to impress some chicks, but very few people have the confidence. And I spoke to you as well, like, you know, even I was not sure if I want to do music full time.
Right.
So how do you get into making this a career? What are the learnings that you've had?
So what I'd suggest to anyone who is, whether they're playing part-time or they want to go full-time, study the pros and cons. Every individual is different. Mm-hmm. So you might be a sound engineer, you might be a singer-songwriter, you might be a DJ. So you have your, in that industry itself, the music industry, there are multiple small industries.
Of course.
Yeah, they're small pockets. So example, if someone wants to become a playback singer, then there's a certain path you'll have to choose and work towards. Okay. There can be a huge success, there can be a huge fall as well. You got to understand what's going to happen and plan things accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just go there. You know, the stories that you hear sometimes in certain magazines, it can be very misleading, because you can't just go there, get out of a train and just go.
Of course.
Because I sang my first playback when I was 21 with Napkumar Rajuji from Hum Aapke Marte and stuff. When I saw that scene, I did not want that scene for me. I wanted people to know me as Prateek Bhadri, as an indie artist whose songs they've heard. Like you said, Andekhi, that gives me happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Not ki I sang for a movie and then that actor was there. That was never my thing. You know, so I wanted to stay true to myself. I would love to sing in more movies and stuff. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But when people identify you as yourself and not the singer of a certain song from that movie is what I want.
Okay.
Because that's what has pushed me till date. So coming back to the part, you have to weigh, you know, if you want to be a playback singer, then you work towards being a person who's going to follow what music directors want you to do. Go out there and build your PR and connects with different music directors, because that's how most playback singers get in. And as you know, even Sonu Nigam just came out in the open about the Bollywood mafia and the music industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain labels like TCDs and all who have a lot of weight, and control a lot of who's going to sing what and everything, because they have Yash Raj and TCDs work together. Different big music labels. I've gone out in music conferences and asked questions to these people as well, very openly, about why our music videos just shown a certain way, where a guy comes wearing chains and a cap, there are 8 chicks around him in bikinis and he's in a Lamborghini, and you're trying to sell that in every music video, and they are funding it, they're making sure they get the plays, they're buying anything and everything around them and the PR around it.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this discourages a lot of talented artists out there. So if you're one of those, you have to understand that this is what you're up against, and if you have any sort of individuality in your voice, you have to find the right music producers or music directors who want to work with you, and you build that relation and you carry on with it, and then you weigh your bills and you see how much it is working out or not. I suggest, like many artists have done on the size, they've explored the live music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So form a band, understand that if you're just a singer, get into that zone of being a live performer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what pays the bills of all our artists, be it indie artists or playback singers, or be it celebrity DJs or, you know, Bollywood DJs, or be it DJs who are doing any sort of genre like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the live scene is our bread and butter, majorly.
Of course.
We fund that money into our creativity. So this is you have a market, you have a country that you live in, the demographics, this is the situation, right? So you have to accept the reality. I have sat with a lot of musicians who are on a trip of their own and they say that this is what I want to do and I will not do that. Okay, fair enough. Then probably get a job. Get a job, because you're clear. I respect having a stand. If you're clear, accept it that, okay, suppose I'm a metal guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I will only play this and I will only play the concerts, pick and choose what I want to do. But you cannot survive that way. If you want to live a fairly decent life, then mm-hmm. get a job and carry on with it. And there are many famous metal musicians who also are working, you know, in a store somewhere abroad, especially in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are doing day jobs and are carrying on with their metal career. So it's fine. You know, it's a genre and you respect that style of music. You just want to stick to that. But again, like for me, I did not want to either be a music director slave and, you know, running around from one studio to another saying that, sir, maine wo gaya tha gaane pe, path singer aur hai, mereko nahi mila. This is what happens in Bombay. So I didn't want to be running around that way. I rather wanted to spend time. And for me, time is money as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a businessman side of me. So I do not want to lose out. I want to live a good life as well. And that's the reason why I've been able to do certain things, because I utilize that time in building things around me in my industry.
Mm-hmm.
So like the studio is a reinvestment of what I earned to putting so that other musicians come create at the same time, record and do things that were difficult in my time where we had lesser access to things.
Of course, yeah.
And then good equipment. I had a bad experience with not all sound vendors, but certain ones who are not very professional. So then investing on your own sound and putting it out. So this was my way of becoming full-time.
Mm-hmm.
I spent time in doing my art. At the same time, I reinvested the money into things that would benefit my industry and me, myself, and the people around me. Because if the people around us also don't grow, then we're not having an industry.
Of course.
We're creating some sort of a monopoly, which is just going to die down in some time.
So I'm saying, how did you plan the entire thing? So for example,
when I was working in the event scene, I realized how much event managers cut off artists. And I was like, yeah, if I start my company, I'm going to do this shit. You know, event managers are the sweetest talkers. They're getting their job done. I have many close friends and I have great times working with them. But at the same time, there are so many in our country who are just abusing artists.
Mm-hmm.
So event managers to corporate clientele, you know, and then the artists. So end of the day, why do we see artists so frustrated and losing their temper?
Of course.
It is because of all this. You know, in our minds, we're going through so much. No matter what style you are, maybe you are Arijit Singh also, there's so much that you've gone through to be there, or you were like a great DJ, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're nuclear probably. There's so much you've gone through. Like, example, that story of him throwing a
laptop.
Yeah. People don't know, maybe they don't know what he probably went through because he's a great guy, mm-hmm. right? So, there are a lot of things that artists go through. So, when I saw that, I was like, okay, I need to understand the system to be a part of the system and be successful.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to be blind and you're going to be that naive child growing up the ranks, they're going to encourage you a lot. They'll always tell you, till date I get calls that this is a great opportunity for you, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have this label and this gig is a great opportunity. The budget isn't great, but I know you're charging this X amount of money in the corporate scene, but you know, don't do this thinking it's that sort of a gig. Even if it's an open air concert, charge half or lesser than that. And so you still get these calls till date, no matter what. And then they'll compare you. See, there's always going to be an artist who's probably achieved some more. To that artist, he'll get a phone call saying, describing him or comparing him to someone else.
Yeah.
That's why so many artists keep getting, like, when they sit together, people who respect art, when they sit together, irrespective,
mm-hmm.
no matter who's grown how much, they always say that, you know, that's not cool. And that happens. And, you know, in my company, when we sit with artists who are whether upcoming or established and we are pushing them for some gig, I never say that, you know, that guy told me this and, you know, you know, how come you... If someone has a certain expectation, either you sit and you discuss figures that, okay, if you are expecting so much, how are we going to make this a successful event? Because mm-hmm. I'm an event manager or I'm a guy curating or producing an event.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting a certain footfall. And how does everyone, you know, make a piece of the cake?
Mm-hmm.
Be honest. Be credible. So I had to understand the system. So that's the reason why I took certain steps. My experiences in working with these big events. I remember sleeping 8 days because I was doing an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to work at NH7 Weekender. So slept around 8 days doing production work there. I remember Dhruv Jagasia was like making us run around. And I knew so many of the musicians. So that made me jealous. I was like, oh, fuck my friend who I just... last year only we played this gig in Bangalore and now they are playing. So that's what got me a head rush. I got to quit my job and, you know, get completely focused on music.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, when you're gaining that experience, I feel every experience, good or bad, it just helps you so much.
Of course.
So today when I put together festivals as well locally. And when I did those festivals, I knew the nuances of what needs to be done and what not.
Mm-hmm.
The costing, you know, things that go around, where you can save and what can benefit artists. Like even now, I'm planning digital music festivals in this time because, wow. You know, this was a time I would have utilized. So how do I push this indie scene along? And forget, I just like to cut off from all these, you know, people who like want to like segment XYZ artists and say these are like the whatever. You know, the scene is not yet grown to a point where anyone can say that this is the independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scene, it's like something that is spreading and growing and growing and growing. And there are so many unexplored pockets and no one has any sort of ownership towards it. There are some people who claim to be the biggest companies out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way to function, because I think it is about letting people know that we exist. We are 1.3 billion people and we are still so many just listening to this. It's growing, but we need to open up our eyes and just see things. The reason I went multilingual also was for that.
Yeah, to reach like as many
people.
Can, of course.
People used to tell me that, you know, you stick to English or, you know, indie artists have that certain
way
they project themselves, well-spoken. And but dude, we're not in America. So... if I write a good Hindi song and it's reaching out, and thankfully in that entire time we had bands like Parvaz, Local Train, Pratik Kuhad, who came out, and they blossomed so well. I'm so happy that happened, because now it's changed, right? Now so many people are writing in local languages. At All About Music we spoke about the digital space exploring content that is in local languages, and indie artists coming out, folk artists coming out and getting that support from labels. So all this that I just spoke about, if I would just be a singer who was just working on his singing, and I would go out there, I would not know how the market functions. I would never be able to sit on a table with any venue owner or any production company or anyone and
talk about it
and voice my opinions and have a proper healthy discussion about what can benefit me as an artist. So I feel for anyone going full-time, understand the industry. You know, talk to people. There are going to be people who are going to surely discourage you, because, or there are going to be people who are going to be honest about certain things. So if you're going there for becoming the school dude who gets all the girls and all that, forget about it. Because when you get to it full time, it's a different story altogether.
Is there pressure? Because there's no constant income.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, man. And I think that's something that comes with it. It's like if you are a CEO of a company, you might be the CEO of that company, but there's also a lot of pressure. If you're an actor, if your movies don't go well, we've just seen the best example recent past, you know.
Of course.
There's a hell lot of pressure in our industry. For me, my biggest legends in music that I looked up to, Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, passed away, man, and they were successful.
Of course.
I don't know what went through them. So keeping your mental health in space, and you have to remember that, you know, there's nothing as what the media shows you as the perfect life or what Instagram shows you. That's not the reality. Everyone's putting that up.
Of course, man. And that's I mean, good you went on the topic, because that's something which even I'm kind of, struggling with as well. Because I think everyone's so caught up playing sheep, man. Ki bas ye kar raha tha, main bhi karunga, with the whole black poster thing and all. How do you deal with it? Because I'm pretty sure one half of you is in the glamorous business. You're getting a lot of attention from the females, you're getting a lot of attention from people in general. And, you know, you've done corporates. I've done corporate gigs as well. And it's, you know, you're at that particular, those 1-2 hours, you're at that high.
Right.
You know, how do you get back being sane? How do you manage both of these? Because I'm pretty sure you have a personal life that you have to handle as well.
So I take inspiration from sport, because I've always watched a lot of sports documentaries and all. Because when I've watched music documentaries, sometimes it's not very there are some that are great, which show you the dark, the difficulties that the artists face,
like
West Side, which is on Netflix. Great. If you're a singer, if you're a musician, watch it. They've shown the what an artist goes through, exactly, anyone like us, because they've shown the LA independent scene. Artists like Pia Toscano, who won she was one of the finalists of American Idol, and then her record label, you know, canceled her contract, and she had songs that were like in the top 20 in the Billboard, you know, and then how she fell and she grew up again, and then the other artists, Leo Gallo, and you know, a lot of them. So if you watch that, you get to know that it's not this glorious. So I was lucky when I was training with Daniel Tompkins. I used to take vocal coaching from him. He's the lead singer of Tesseract. And Daniel told me that when that time I was around 21, 22 years old, and he asked me, so you're planning to take music full time. And he knew where my skill set at that moment was. And he said, Pratik, if this is what you're getting from your gigs, the amount of money that you're earning so far, with the skill set that you possess, you know, keep pushing harder, because this is great. Like in India, you're sitting in India. And he said that, I'm coming for NH7. That same year he was playing at NH7. He had come 6 months back and played a college festival. He said, you'll have 10,000 people, you know, a crowd of 10,000 in a college festival. In UK, these music festivals where we, you know, take a caravan, we load our gear up, we drive from one side of Europe to the other, one side of UK to the other, to play these festivals. Then we sleep in that same caravan and we come back. Here, y'all are giving plane tickets to opening acts. You know, the colleges are flying, and they do that. Finalists from five, like Bits Pilani and stuff. Are flown down.
Bits Pilani is crazy.
So he just opened me up that, you know, on one side we sit and curse, but then on the other side, there are positives about your country as well. Which he showed me. And I took those positives and I realized, yeah, man, like if you look at the market a certain way, accept the flaws, see the strengths, and keep working on your skills. I think it's very important for us artists to keep working on our skills. And you keep at it, then sky is the limit. And like the point you just made, that whole social life thing and what keeps me going. I love watching sports documentaries, because athletes, professional athletes at the highest level, and the highest sort of pressure.
Of course, man.
And if you've gone through the same injury, you both have ACL pops, tennis elbow injuries, this, that, psychologically it drains them. That's why every team has a psychologist, because it puts them in such a dark spot, and then they have to pick themselves again. And only a musician or a athlete will know what is it to push himself back up again and make a comeback. So these things, I keep my mind around these positive things about these stories, because if you give up right here in your head, no matter what, I don't care what people say, someone will praise you, and 5 minutes later he might just go and tell someone something else about you. you know, someone will genuinely praise you, and maybe 3 years later, they might not even think about you. And that is how it is. You accept the fact that this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the period. And remember, there's a life beyond all this also. You know, you as an individual have to go beyond just this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you let your music hit as many people as you can, but don't make that... It is the most important thing for me. My music is. But I value my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much you curse or crib or cry about something, if you're not going to sit up and man up and face life and see the good things around you as well, or what you have, then there's no point. And like you were saying, you know, the difficulties every artist has. Like, you might think you're struggling. Each of us is struggling. No matter... The best part, I gave again the examples. Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington. Epitome of any rock singer to be where they want to be was them. Or any indie artist, they want to be there.
Of course, man.
And they give up on life, right? So it is an unending process. And then the guys like Eddie Vedder, who in spite of like growing as much as he did, he's doing acoustic sets of Pearl Jam alone, and then is, you know, playing with other people like Queen, you mm-hmm. know, Queen making a comeback and doing these insane concerts was like with a young singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a front man. So that's insane, right? So that's what keeps me going. Like, if these guys in their 60s and 65, Iron Maiden is flying a plane and going, and that much passion, and then he's studying about tanks, and he's becoming a tank enthusiast, and he's a part of the British Army, and I was like, wow, dude, like, if they're doing that, this is my inspiration. Like, what am I going to do with my life? And this is what keeps me going. I don't want to look at what I'm being fed by Zoom or by VH1 or by, you know, I just look at the world with things that I research about, and how do I make myself a better person? I don't care what these 5 blokes who consider themselves the flag bearers of the indie scene or whoever have an opinion about you, because they end of the day also have their certain artists that they favor,
mm-hmm.
and we all know it. So it's the same whether it's T-Series or whether it's the indie scene, the same, because it's the Indian mentality also. Mm-hmm. This industry is made by us only.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole mindset is going to exist. The best part of the digital space is you're going to find people who love you without knowing you. And there's going to be no, that bias or judgment won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
They love you for your music. My thing is, stay true to your music. Just believe what you believe in. Write great songs. Work hard. Accept good criticism. You know, reinvent yourself and keep going. And that's what I follow, these principles. And I keep taking motivation from, like I told you, these documentaries and these wonderful stories that I read about.
Mm-hmm. You're also like really fond of sports, man. Because I remember when I used to play for Pune FC, you used to be like tracking everything, every game.
Every game, and I became the official MC in one season also. Yeah.
Is football really close to you? Because you follow the Indian football scene a lot.
Yeah, a lot more.
So tell us about that, man.
Okay, that's great, man. No one's ever asked me this in our season. So because that's wonderful. I love the Indian football scene. My dad's been a fantastic sportsman growing up. He was an inspiration to watch as well. I did my fair bit, and I remember 11 and 12, that's when I really improved and I started to play. You were Ajay Chorke?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he was coaching that time and I used to train with him, and he was planning trials for a lot of these Air India and different clubs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's when he asked me, because I used to keep shuffling between band practice and this and give these reasons, right? So mm-hmm. he said that if you want to be a professional footballer, you have the ability, but you'll have to commit to it 100%. You might carry on your education, but after this point, at this juncture, at the age that you are in,
mm-hmm.
you have to commit to it 100%. Whether you have a band or something, that does not exist. Pro means going pro. And that moment when I sat down and thought, because there were these 7-a-side India tournaments that happened, I got selected for that and they were asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
To go there. He woke me up about that as well. He said, if you're going to waste your time going to Sweden to play this tournament and pay money for it, that doesn't mean that India jerseys of any... You're paying money for the jersey.
Of course.
Is what he told me about. So I don't consider that as an achievement, though I went for the trials and everything. So he told me very clearly that if you want to go pro, you got to do what you got to do. And I realized that maybe I want to contribute to this game and to the side of Indian football in other ways possible. So when I was starting my event management, I also worked on this tournament called Soccer Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I organized it at Shivaji Nagar Police Grounds. I got Venkis, who had just bought Blackburn Rovers. So I got them as sponsors. I had online streaming and then, because this was 2013.
Yeah.
2012-13. So I had online streaming on that competition. I got freestylers to come down, Street Kings of India,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Delhi. So I did these things which only Red Bull or some few people were doing that time to create awareness. Now it's really popular. Everyone knows who the freestyler is.
Mm-hmm.
But that time it was something, and it was a proper tournament with cheerleaders and crowd and, you know, fancy football tournament. So I want to give back to the sport, especially Indian football, so that the talent, when I saw a 5-a-side futsal tournament where there was no Indian team, and then I was seeing the AFC Asian Cup and India was so glorious in 1962 and then we didn't play. So those things bothered me, and mm-hmm. I was there standing in empty stands, be it VFC playing or be it India playing. Mm-hmm. I started to build relations with the players. Some of them thought I wanted to get into player management, which I was not interested into as an agent, but so they had the these doubts, but I was just genuinely keeping in touch with mm-hmm. them because I love what they were doing. And as an artist, we put in that same hard work.
Of course, man. Yeah.
We sit there, we train, we work on our art. So I understand what they do, getting up in the morning, following a diet, mm-hmm. you know, working, training hard, injuries. So that kept me going, man. I love it. And I have seen Indian football grow since then. And I still continue to watch every possible game. I've gone around India. I've taken my wife as well, and I've traveled around India to watch India play. And today I know the players in the national team, 5-6 of them personally. And it's wonderful when you sit over a cup of coffee. I remember my friend Arindam Bhattacharya, he came down for 80K, and then we got up for a cup of coffee and we discussed so many things. And there are similarities, you know, as a traveling artist,
mm-hmm.
the airport, getting from the airport to the hotel, then performance for them, the performances on the field.
Of course, yeah.
Lack of sleep, one part of India to the other. They're playing in Pune, next they're playing in Guwahati.
Mm-hmm.
So right after multiple flights. So those commonalities, the hustle, the hard work, will your contract stay, you know, next album for us.
Yes.
How successful it be. That reality of life, that there's that wonderful popularity that you get, the love from people at the same time. There's that fall, if it gets to your head, at the same time, you have to keep at it.
Of course.
And that keeping at it keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
So, and secondly, keeping fit and the beauty of sport, man. Just when you play a sport, you're such a better person, I feel. You're such a less cruel person. You value people around you. Because, example, when Rohan plays on that field, what Rohan brings in when he plays football, another player doesn't get that. But what that other guy gets is also what makes a team together, right? So that's the beauty of sport. And I think that's what keeps me able to do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Sports is a very important factor because I'm better at understanding people. Like my guitar player, he's come from a different walk of life, from Mizoram. He's seen different things. What he brings with his talent, understanding his personality, to my drummer who's come from Assam, to someone else who's my bassist. He's much more senior when it comes to his age. So he has a certain maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you understand people better. Sport does that. You respect people's talents, you respect their personalities, and you you become a better team person as well. And then you can lead as well. So that's what sport has taught me. And I stay close to Indian football. I try to give back. I send a friend of mine for a trial through the contacts that I have.
Wow.
Because I like to see them achieve those dreams, what I wanted to as a player, which obviously was not possible. I had to make a choice. And there were so many great footballers that, you know, even then.
That's great, man.
Yeah. So that's how it is. That's my closeness to Indian football. And I have it till my last breath. I'm a Bengali. So
I know, man. You guys have a lot of
football. Bengal Mohan Bagan till we die. That rivalry goes on. And secondly, I just love the game.
Great, man. So Prateek, you've had a great career so far. What suggestion would you give to a 17-year-old Prateek Bahaduri who's just starting in?
Firstly, believe in yourself, because there are going to be people who are going to tell you a lot of shit. There'll be only people who will tell you, do this way and do it that way. Just like... record. If you're a guitar player, singer, songwriter, record yourself and just watch it. Is that something that would inspire you when you listen to it? First thing is to ask yourself the truth. You know, when you start asking the right questions, you start working on yourself without being biased.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen young kids, even when we were young, you know, there are moments we start flying and then are moments we fall flat down and we are depressed. Midway, we have to keep ourselves going. Take inspiration from great artists who have had the longest of careers. Example, Miles Kennedy, if you're a singer or guitar player, you know, from Alter Bridge, you know, in our industry, in the rock music industry, he was a guitar teacher. He still loves to teach, you know, but he's traveling all around the world. And when Alter Bridge is taking a little bit of sabbatical, he went and played an acoustic set in different venues. So you understand the nuances of the industry, that it's not going to be, he outright said in that it's not the same Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple rock and roll days where it's all about the sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very different industry now where you have to hustle hard and you have to be humble and you have to get out there. And there's so many other things with technology and keeping up with things that happen in our industry. So kids today need to understand that this is like any other job that you do, but the only thing is that you love what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one calling the shots. And when there's no one calling the shots sitting on your head, it's also scary because you have to call the shots.
Of course.
So you have to be very focused. You know, there are times any of us, we slow down. And our slowing down, you can see 10 other artists come out. So the competition is real. So if you're a 17-year-old sitting there, plan, write down what you're going to do. What is your aim for that year? When you turn 18, how do you want to sound? If this is how you sound today, what is your plan? How many songs do you want to write? You know, what are the nuances of songwriting?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a guitar player, what is the current skill set? What is the market right now? What is the demand for guitar players? If you're a metal guitar player, how do you... You're 17. Maybe America is a better place for you to be, or maybe Europe is a better... Norway, Sweden, these are the biggest metal scenes. If you're a metal guitar player, that's where probably you could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of big metal bands auditioning people. And I've seen Indian artists travel around the world playing these festivals. So plan out. you know, understand yourself as an artist. Between 17 to probably 20, he'll figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could want to be a session musician. Like, there are so many great musicians who are playing and one making huge amounts of money. So he want that life, you know, touring with A.R. Rahman's and Salim Suleiman's and doing those things. So as a 17-year-old, you have to be clear what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was clear, I want to be a live artist. I want to create a name for myself as an individual, Prateek Bhaduri, and I want to have an identity with my music.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone Googles my name, he gets X, Y, Z, this is his music, this is what he's done, and the journey carries on. I didn't want to be that person ki isne ye film mein gaya hai. I was very clear about that in the beginning of the interview as well. So that was me being clear. I didn't want to be in reality shows singing covers. Though it's great, bro. A lot of these singers are fabulous. But somewhere, our industry doesn't let them become artists of their own identity. They become great people who are given a sheet with instructions and they deliver par excellence on that. So complete respect to these guys. When they do it, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, somewhere we are like, we manufacture engineers and doctors in these big numbers and supply because that's how our system is made. In music also, that's what's happening. We are supplying to those sharks sitting there. Ye use karo. To 10 singer ko gawayenge and ek ko denge, 9 ko paise nahi denge.
Mm-hmm.
और दो को पैसे देंगे उसमें से एक के वॉइस को रखेंगे. There are so many friends of mine, like established people, putting out these rants on Facebook that you know, they were told something and then the music was released, you know, digitally with someone else's name, or they put them as a backing singer whereas they actually sang the song. So these things happen. So for me, I understood these things. So if you're a 17-year-old, start understanding the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Start understanding that it's not just about the big crowds and all the girls. Or
yeah, I mean, I think what you're trying to say is that there are 3-4 different avenues. One is probably playback, one is probably doing live, one's doing probably corporate, and one is just being a solo artist. So I think it makes sense to kind of figure out where you belong.
And also you'll have to do a little bit of everything as well.
Of course.
Like,
that's
sooner or later in this industry, you can't just stick to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he as a 17-year-old needs to plan. If he just wants to be a session musician, then what does he need to do? If he wants to be a live artist and wants to be an independent artist, live artist, what he needs to do? Maybe he needs to stick to a job also for a while, support himself.
Of course.
And then he can study things like music production and things, because understanding production is always going to help his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's going to save hell loads of money from what he earns in helping himself build scratches and creating good demos and mixing them. If he gets good at mixing and mastering, he can set up his own place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many avenues. So that's what a 17-year-old needs to do. If there are any good academies, like there's Swarnabhumi in Chennai, or there's the Red Bull Music Academy now in Bombay, and there are True School of Music. If enrolling there is going to benefit his career, do it. But calculate. So I had a chance to go to MI. I didn't go because when I calculated the amount of money I'm going to spend, even after getting a little bit of a scholarship from there, I contemplated for 2 years whether I should go to Musicians Institute to LA or no.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that money is just going to be a waste. That experience might be golden.
Of course.
But am I planning to, then again, you're paying for a 3-year visa to stay in the US. After those 3 years, you're going to pay again. Is that worth it?
Yeah.
So you're draining out money. And whose finances? Probably someone from your house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that didn't make sense. So that's what. So you have to understand that life, this is how life is. There are finances. There are things that you can look into. You've got to be real.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of artists like cut a wave and just want to be the artist. And no one can be a Bob Marley in today's time. It's very difficult.
Oh man, of course.
Yeah, it's really hard. So that's what. So they need to figure stuff out, focus, and keep reinventing themselves, keep learning. Learning is the most important thing. Yeah.
Great, man. Prateek, it was an awesome conversation, man. It was so, so good to catch up with you in your lovely studio. I'm going to be sending down and adding all his music links, all your links, where his beautiful studio will, you can probably check it out on Facebook, and I'll add all the links that we have. You're also teaching right now, right? So I'll add those links as well, so you can get in touch with him if you want to learn vocal, if you want to train yourself vocally. So he's here to teach you.
Absolutely.
And I hope to see you back on the podcast, man. Whenever we get a chance, please do come back.
I would love to.
It's always like awesome to just have a conversation with you, man. Thank you so much for doing this, bro. You're like one phone call, Prateek, I want in the podcast. You're like, yeah, bro, let's do it. And so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to spend time with you, talking all these things that probably we've never spoken about. And glad this podcast had us talk about so many different things about myself that I don't share also.
Of course.
I've shared those details which I've never shared in any interview. Even my love for Indian football, I think I've only spoken once with Radio City Freedom in brief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but today I spoke a lot of stuff that I probably have never shared. Like a lot of candid, because it was like I'm talking to a close friend.
You are talking to a close friend.
That's what.
Just 1,000 people listening.
Yeah, just that. That's what. So for that moment, you don't realize, right? You're sharing everything from your heart, and I think this is one of the most candid interviews I've done. So I loved it, and I honestly again want to say that people must, you know, subscribe, follow this lovely podcast, and stay in touch with whatever is happening in the scene that we are, and let's all grow together, and wish everyone the best of luck during this difficult time.
Cheers, man. Thanks a lot, bro. Thanks for doing this, bro. Cheers.
Pleasure to be here. Cheers. Thank you so much.
And that was the episode, guys. Thanks for tuning into the Breakthrough Podcast. I'm getting mad love from all of you guys from the fraternity. Continue sharing, but definitely consider subscribing, following, liking, doing all that good stuff. This definitely helps me a lot.